You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from The Athletic. And, well, just me. It's going to be probably a shorter podcast than usual. It's going to be a solo podcast. We're going to get into some Marcus Smart splint talk, a little more Jaylen Brown talk, some Celtics 76ers discussion. Obviously, since it's the second round of the playoffs and the Celtics are up 1-0 in their series, I'm alone today because of number of factors. Basically, schedules with John and Sam didn't quite work out. So here I am recording a podcast. It is excessively early in the morning. I just woke up from like 4 hours of sleep. Here I am trying to give you the podcast. Sorry it's a little late. Sorry it's later than usual. But I'm trying to do this for you. I'm trying to do it for the people. Anyway, we'll start with the Marcus Smart splint talk because I think that's a little interesting. Obviously, since returning from injury, he has not been shooting the basketball well. Right now, according to NBA.com, 3 for 25 on non-layups, which is clearly, clearly disgusting. He shot 2 for 8 from behind the arc against the 76ers in Game 1. He then said what I thought pretty interesting. Came into practice, said that his splint has been digging into his hand, hasn't been comfortable. I'm not surprised by it because obviously Marcus Smart is not a great shooter. You don't need me to tell you that. You don't need stats to tell you that. You've seen him play. You've seen him miss. But since coming back from his injury, it has been at an absolutely different level. It has been to the point where, like, I mean, he's a bad shooter, but he's a streaky shooter. He can make shots. And since his return, he just hasn't done a lot of that. 76ers were clearly begging him to shoot. He did it a fair amount. He mostly missed 2 for 8. But maybe the splint will help. And I know Marcus Smart will never be a great shooter, or at least at this stage of his career, he's not. I don't have much faith that he will change based on how the first 4 years of his career have gone. But he's a type of shooter, because he does keep shooting, and because he's not the normal non-shooter in the fact that he does launch shots, he's a guy who can swing a game. And in a series, maybe that swings a series. He and Marcus Morris, I think, especially when the bench is out there, there are going to be moments when Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris are the two primary shot creators for the Celtics. And sometimes that's not a good thing. Sometimes you'd prefer to go to more efficient options. Sometimes you wish those two guys wouldn't hijack as many possessions as they do. But that's just how it's going to go. And so Smart's shooting, like, if he's miserable, like totally, totally miserable, like he's been so far, That's probably a bigger deal than you'd think, because he's normally pretty bad. But the difference between pretty bad and miserable, like he's been so far, is important. So I'm interested to see what the splint does, whether that can make a difference moving forward in this series. Obviously, he needs to have his right thumb protected. He needs to continue being safe with that so that he doesn't re-injure it or aggravate it or anything like that. but he also needs to have the mobility in his right thumb because he needs to shoot the ball better than he has, quite frankly, throughout his first four games of his return. The Celtics with him off the court are actually scoring at a very nice rate during the playoffs, about 110 points per 100 possessions, just really, really pouring it in. And then the Celtics with Smart in the lineup right now at about 101 points per 100 possessions. He has the lowest offensive rating of anybody in the regular rotation. So his offense has been an issue. And I know he has tons of other impacts. I know there aren't many guards who can steal a rebound from Joel Embiid. And not even steal a rebound. That rebound was always Marcus Smart. Not many guys can beat Joel Embiid to a rebound, go back up, put back and one over Joel Embiid at Marcus Smart's size. So he's always going to have an impact. He's always going to make winning plays. But if he advances from miserable as a shooter to just really bad, which is what he's been for most of his career, then I think that's actually a big deal. 3 for 25 on jumpers so far in 115 minutes of postseason playing time just isn't going to cut it. The Celtics need more from him. So we'll see. We'll see how that split does. We'll see if it makes any impact. I'm intrigued to see whether he can kind of snap out of this and go on one of his Marcus Smart hot streaks, because he is capable of hot streaks. All right, Jaylen Brown talk. Jaylen Brown doubtful for game two after going through a workout on before practice Wednesday. Brad Stevens kind of hinted that one of the reasons why Jaylen Brown hasn't returned to the lineup is that the Celtics don't want him to come back early, want to make sure that the hamstring doesn't linger. Obviously, hamstrings can be tricky. And Brad said something interesting about chasing around J.J. Redick, who obviously is one of the most active guys going around screens, obviously is stopping and starting all over the place. Guarding J.J. Redick would be hell for a hamstring. So here's what Brad said about that.
Now, do we have discussions with Jaylen about, hey, you know, just the reason why you've got to go through all these tests and you've got to do all this is to run around screens with J.J. Redick, which is, to be honest, it's a different challenge than most everything else in the league. And so that is a, you know, that's a part of it. But, you know, as far as like play or not play, I'm not even in those discussions.
Now, it's interesting because you don't think too much about the physical strain of guarding a J.J. Redick or guarding a Marco Bellinelli even, who's also very active running around screens. But with a hamstring, like, that's got to be one of the worst assignments. Like, if Jaylen just had a guard like Malcolm Brogdon, whatever, man. wouldn't be nearly as physically straining as J.J. Redick, who's just rocketing around screens all the time. And so the Celtics, I think they're right to be cautious. Steven said that the injury, as long as the Celtics are safe with it, shouldn't linger. So it seems like once Jaylen gets back, once he's allowed to come back, once he's cleared to return, that it shouldn't give him too many issues, which is a good thing, obviously. But especially with hamstrings, because those things can be nagging. Those things can get re-aggravated. Those things can be really, really tricky. So good news. Good news that it seems like it's kind of a lighter hamstring injury and that Brown should be able to come back. But when he does, like, he's going to go right into needing to guard shooters. And one of the key things of this 76ers team, and we've said it all along on this podcast, you have to guard Ben Simmons. You have to guard Joel Embiid. You have to guard both those guys in single coverage because the shooters really, really help differentiate the Sixers offense. You know, Simmons is a bear by himself, but he's really a bear when he has Robert Covington and J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli shooting, making threes around him. So the Celtics are going to have to be really locked in around the arc. They're going to have be good at switching. They're going to have to be all those things. And so there is going to be a stress on Jaylen Brown's body. There's always going to be a stress, obviously, as an NBA player. But the stopping and starting in this series is going to be – there's going to be a lot of it. So I do think, obviously, the Celtics played great in game one. Jaylen Brown is going to be a matchup issue for Philadelphia on offense. They don't have many wings with the size to size and athleticism to guard him. You know, you look at a J.J. Redick, who's a fine defender, but he doesn't have the physical attributes that Jaylen Brown does. I'm not sure he can stay in front of Jaylen Brown. Same thing when you look at Marco Bellinelli. And the problem for the Sixers with that is they need a guy like Ben Simmons. They need a guy like Robert Covington to be able to guard the quicker guards like Terry Rozier. And if one of those guys needs to guard Tatum or Jaylen Brown, then you have matchup problems elsewhere. So I do think once Jaylen Brown returns, it's going to be a very big deal for the Celtics offense. Obviously, he's one of their best shooters. Obviously, he's a guy who can get to the cup, especially in the right matchups. I think he is very, very important to this matchup. I don't think you should be fooled by game one and think that his absence wasn't felt, because his absence will be felt this series. As long as he stays out, his absence will be felt. And when he's back, it allows the Celtics to stay bigger while still having the athleticism advantages that they showed in game one, the speed advantages that they showed in game one. So this is going to be a really important series for Jaylen Brown. And then at the other end, like I said, shadowing the arc. He's one of the best defenders on the Celtics, one of the guys capable of guarding around screens and switching anybody. So Jaylen Brown, a big, big deal to this series. Whew. Game two. I'm interested to see a lot of things. I want to see how much better a job the 76ers do at limiting penetration. I want to see whether the Celtics continue to downsize like they did with Terry Rozier and Shane Larkin if Jaylen Brown does come back. Because I think that was one of their big advantages. Like Philly, they don't really play many point guards. Like McConnell's going to play a few minutes. But as far as like real defensive point guards go, they don't really have one. And I think that put some stress on their defense, that the Celtics had foot speed advantages at several positions, especially when Larkin and Rozier were both out there together. So I'm interested to see whether that continues or whether Philly can do a better job with that. I'm interested to see whether Joel Embiid does a better job defending the arc when he's guarding Al Horford. I'm interested to see whether the Sixers do start to switch everything, which is what Joel Embiid said they might. There are a lot of things going on in this series that should be really fun. I don't think the 76ers will ever play as badly the rest of the series as they did in game one. They had some just poor effort plays. I don't know if the rest thing had anything to do with it. I don't know if having, I believe it was 6 days in between games, actually mattered. Maybe it did. But the Sixers definitely were not sharp in game one. And I think part of that was because of the Celtics. Celtics played great. Celtics hit a load of shots. But I also don't expect Philadelphia to play that poorly the rest of the series. The Joel Embiid matchup is going to be fascinating because he's going to be able to cook. He might put up huge numbers this series, and the Celtics will be okay with that. As long as he's not freeing things up for everybody else, as long as Aaron Baines doesn't get totally roasted so that Embiid is like only plus efficiency instead of like plus efficiency, then I think the Celtics will live with his post-ups. One thing about him is he turns the ball over a fair amount, and Simmons does too. So that's one of the Sixers' flaws, is that they turn the ball over too much. So we'll see if the Celtics will be able to take advantage of that as the series goes on. I just think this is just a great series, man. I'm so in on this series. To be honest, I don't think I was a huge fan of the Bucks Celtics series. There just wasn't much juice for me. This feels already in game one. This felt like the buzz was just so much higher. Like Bill Russell was there in the crowd, and there was talk about the rivalry being rekindled, and how these two teams could meet in the Eastern Conference for years to come, which I think is very valid. I think when you look at the way the Eastern Conference is shaping up, and obviously nobody knows where LeBron James is going to go. Obviously the Toronto Raptors are a team to reckon with in the Eastern Conference. They've been one of the better teams in the East for years. But with the rosters Boston and Philadelphia have put together, and especially once Boston gets healthy, and especially once Simmons and Embiid grow older, then you look at these two teams and it's like, yeah, they should separate themselves. Assuming good health, which I guess you can't ever assume in the NBA. Obviously, it's one of those things where, I mean, you've seen what happens in a lot of places. Even OKC, like, OKC never had super bad health. Like, they had Kevin Durant was injured 1 year, and Russell Westbrook was injured another year, but they had Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on the same team and only made one NBA Finals. So there's nothing promised in the NBA, but you look at the 76ers, you look at the Celtics, and these teams, they should meet again. they might meet again many, many times. They are set up to be the class of the East for a long time, and it's exciting to see the start of that. And back to Bucks. I mean, Chris Middleton was incredible to watch for those seven games. Chris Middleton, every time he missed, I was like, what? Really? And Giannis was incredible to watch. But there just wasn't that hoopla about it. And I do think Celtics-Sixers will get very chippy as the series goes on. You saw the Marcus Smart-Ben Simmons thing. You saw earlier in the season when Marcus Morris and Ben Simmons got into it. I think by the end of this series, the Celtics and 76ers will not like each other. And that could be something that carries on for years, which is really cool. Then you've got the whole Tatum versus Simmons rookie thing. You've got the whole Tatum versus Fultz thing, although that's not really a conversation much because Markel Fultz didn't even play in game one. But even that in itself is like, damn, Jason Tatum, like, Celtics could have taken Markel Fultz. Sixers could have taken Jason Tatum. It's the what if there is wild. And Markel Fultz will develop and he'll regain control of his jump shot. And I'm on record saying I still think he'll be a multi-time all-star. But that's just one other interesting layer to this series, which is fantastic. I'm all in on this series. I'm all in. All in. Give it all to me. Give me Joel Embiid in the mask. Give me Aaron Baines versus Joel Embiid. Give me Al Horford trying to stretch out Joel Embiid. Give me Al Horford trying to beat switches in the post. Give me Jason Tatum trying to take advantage of Marco Bellinelli and J.J. Redick. And the flip side of that, having Tatum and Brown and Smart racing around screens trying to guard those guys. Semi Ojeleye. What's he going to do this series? Can he knock down a few shots? Can he continue to be such a solid defensive presence? Which, yeah, probably, because he's done it most of the season. So I'm all in on this series. I think the basketball is fascinating. I think the two teams are very fun to watch. I think they're both very connected squads. I think they both have huge futures. And I'm all in. Give me seven games. Or six games, or however many games, but give me good games. I want good games. And I haven't even talked about Terry Rozier, but that dude has been ridiculous at the Garden. So give me more shot making, man. Give me more shot making. Give me more great passing. I want to see Simmons firing passes. So I like this series. I'm a big fan of this series. I'm a basketball guy. I don't know if you guys know that. Anyway, that's just about it from me. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe, search for us, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcast. We're the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever. And we normally have at least two guys in the pod. Today was solo, so hopefully you guys didn't hate it too much. I try to keep it a little interesting, but I probably rambled at times. My bad, yo. My bad.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.